It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The EPA, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, moves to regulate what we refer to as forever chemicals in drinking water. We learned what these long-awaited federal limits mean for Wisconsinites in this class of over 12,000 synthetic chemicals now, called as a group PFAS. Colin, with questions and comments about PFAS in your community, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Kading is a reporter in the Superior Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio. Danny, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So the EPA says it's going to nationally regulate per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. We use the umbrella term PFAS in drinking water for the first time. How would this change be different from Wisconsin's current standards?
Yeah, so the EPA is proposing individual limits for two of the most widely studied PFAS chemicals, PFOA and PFOS. Those would have limits put on them at 4 parts per trillion, and that's more than 17 times lower than Wisconsin's current drinking water standard for PFAS, which is 70 parts per trillion, and those took effect last summer. And the EPA also wants to regulate the combination of 4 other PFAS.
Right, because there are thousands in this, you know, PFAS family of chemicals, if you will. Why is the EPA targeting these 6?
Yeah, so these chemicals are known to be found in drinking water. And so PFOA and PFOS, for instance, you know, since they're a couple of the most widely studied PFAS chemicals, we have a lot of research on those. And those two have also been largely phased out of production and manufacturing. And then other chemicals that they're proposing to regulate, like Gen X, were kind of introduced as a replacement. But these chemicals are really being targeted because the best available science that we have shows that they're harmful to people. And over time, studies have shown that they pose health risks at levels even lower than we previously thought.
What is the trajectory here? I mean, how long would municipalities have to comply with these regulations? What happens in these next stages as this plays out?
Well, if it's passed, Wisconsin and other states would have to first adopt these federal standards, and then water systems across the state would be required to test and monitor for them. And they would have to do that at the levels that were identified. And if they find them at concerning amounts, then they would have to notify their customers and treat the water to reduce PFAS levels in drinking water. And as far as like how long they might have to comply with these new regulations if they're passed, I don't know that we have a good handle on that yet. I know the EPA is saying that water systems would have to meet whatever standards are passed after a specified time period. I'm not sure if those details have been finalized yet. We've seen with the process for state standards that there's a phase-in period for communities, mm-hmm. and that's kind of depending on their size. And so I think the DNR might be able to better answer that question.
I wonder, is there pushback for these? I mean, this was a really big move by the EPA to put forth these types of regulations. Where might the opposition be to this?
Well, we're seeing some concern from both industry and water groups related to the cost of implementing these regulations. Industry groups like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, or WMC, they have come out in support of the state's drinking water standard based on earlier science that the EPA had based its health advisories on not even 5 years ago. It was back in 2016 now. But they're concerned because they think that these limits go too far. They highlight the World Health Organization's guidelines coming out that call for levels of 100 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFOS. Water groups are concerned because if they implement this, it's going to be millions of dollars in a lot of cases for them to do testing and treatment and monitoring. And so there's a lot of concern about what this means for them once these standards are finalized.
talking about drinking water quality, PFAS, and what the EPA has proposed with Danielle Kading, WPR reporter. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Brad is here from Sun Prairie. Brad, hi, what is your question?
Well, I want to make sure that there's proper oversight and transparency. So far, I don't have much confidence in what I see out of the military or Dane County Airport. I mean, going back to the 1960s, 3M and DuPont knew that there was risk, and they saw evidence of the harmful effects, and the government has not held them accountable. But the military itself has a really bad record as to cleaning up toxic chemicals. They like to dump and burn. It should be science that's deciding, not politics. Turex Field in the Dane County Airport has been a Superfund site since 1987 for other chemicals, and it's still not cleaned up. So, again, we need to have science decide where and how to test, and maybe we should make sure chemicals are safe before we introduce them to our environment. Thank you.
Brad, thank you. Danny, very concerned there about compliance. What can you offer?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this is something that both at the federal level and the state level, we've seen how the political process can influence what we see in terms of standards that are under development or being put in place. There's certainly been pushback at the federal level in the past from the Department of Defense over regulating this. I mean, they haven't really moved forward because they currently aren't listed as a hazardous substance under the Superfund law. So the EPA is moving to do that. So that would give them the power to be able to require cleanup in those circumstances and possibly bring resources to bear on that front. And then at the state level, we saw political influence play a role in our own drinking water standards for PFAS. You know, state health officials recommended a level of 20 parts per trillion for PFAS when it went before the Natural Resources Board back in February of last year. And the board ultimately decided to weaken that standard and raise it to 70 parts per trillion based on what the EPA had recommended back in 2016 as far as levels of concern for public health. And so I think there's a lot of debate and science, you know, the people who are concerned about this, residents and communities, point to industry and corporate influences and tactics of a delay and deflect and denying that contamination is even present. And I think that we've seen that over the years where there's been a delay in first letting regulators know that there were public health risks with these chemicals, and then a delay in response and ensuring that people have protections for public health.
The EPA last month revealed a $25 million grant to help smaller Wisconsin communities address PFAS pollution. And you've been talking with community leaders. What has come up? What did they think about the federal aid?
Well, they definitely support any federal funding that might flow into their communities to help them address this issue. Because, I mean, if you look at towns like Peshtigo, which is part of the state's largest, most complex PFAS investigation due to the use of firefighting foam that contained those chemicals at Tyco's fire training facility. I mean, this is a town of roughly 4,000 residents, and communities of that size or smaller really struggle with limited resources and often feel overwhelmed at being able to provide safe water for their residents. And so any type of federal funding or state funding that might flow to them to help them to, you know, either install new wells or look at other solutions that could possibly, you know, provide that safe water solution long term, they certainly welcome that.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior, been covering environmental developments related to PFAS and health risks Wisconsin communities face with their drinking water. Join in with your PFAS questions. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We discuss toxic PFAS pollution in Wisconsin as the EPA makes this historic move to regulate forever chemicals. Call in with your questions and concerns, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based at our Superior Bureau, stays with us. Danny, we heard from Jeff in Door County called in, and Jeff uses a private well, had to have their system replaced. And Jeff says the plumbers working on the project all said they don't test for chemicals in the water. Jeff thinks they should. What can you tell us about the situation with private wells and PFAS?
Well, related to private wells and PFAS, you know, as it relates to these new proposed limits, for instance, they wouldn't be affected by the EPA's rules because that only applies to drinking water and not groundwater. And while state protections are currently lacking for groundwater, the Wisconsin Department of Natural process of crafting health-based standards for PFAS in groundwater. And the agency said it would take the EPA's proposed limits into account when doing that. So if there is a groundwater standard that is passed in Wisconsin, that would require testing, as far as I understand it. But I would again defer to the DNR on that as far as any upcoming standards and what might be required on that front.
Let's turn to Wausau for a moment. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg says the city no longer has PFAS contamination in its drinking water because of their new treatment plant. What are residents saying about these experiences?
Well, what I can tell you is that treatment system is successfully removing PFAS and lowering levels of the those chemicals, but it's a temporary solution until they have a permanent system in place. And for residents, the city, as you said, just got this new treatment plant up and running, and they're now being asked to pay 65% more with this upcoming new treatment system. And Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg says that adds up to about $50 more on people's quarterly bills. And so that's drawing concerns from residents and businesses who have already seen their rates go up with this new treatment plant. And from what I've heard related to concerns among residents, is it's been kind of mixed among people related to the higher levels that mm-hmm. they've seen in their city wells. And Rosenberg has told me that people in more vulnerable groups, like pregnant women or those who might be immunocompromised, have had more questions and concerns around those chemicals.
Turning to the federal level, we saw Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin proposing a bipartisan bill that would expand water quality testing and treatment for rural private wells, the Healthy H2O Act. How are rural communities handling testing and contamination, and what would this legislation do?
Well, for rural communities, it's different, right? Because there are no requirements for testing and treatment of private wells. And for people with private wells, they might look at drilling a new well or getting in-home treatment systems to remove PFAS from their water. At the community level, places like Peshtigo and Campbell are exploring whether they can draw water from other sources that aren't contaminated, like drilling deeper wells into deeper aquifers. But the deeper you go, then that could potentially raise issues with other contaminants like radium. So it's a complex problem. And as far as the legislation that was recently introduced, I really can't speak to that. I would probably refer you to the DNR on that.
So looking, as you look at the map of PFAS, in Wisconsin, how widespread is the risk of pollution in our state? What is the status?
Well, if we're talking about the number of sites where it's been found, the state is actively investigating about 100 sites across Wisconsin. The chemicals have been found in public wells in Eau Claire and Madison, Milwaukee, Wausau, and La Crosse. And not all of those cities currently have high levels that they would have to treat for. I believe Madison recently said that their wells would meet the EPA's new proposed limits. And I also believe that the DNR has done some voluntary PFAS sampling last year for around 130 municipal systems prior to those state standards taking effect. So, you know, they're continuing to work through their own phased approach for the state standards while, you know, looking at how these federal limits could potentially impact state systems.
And meanwhile, you know, we got the news of the town of Stella testing positive for PFAS levels way higher than what the EPA is proposing in current Wisconsin standards. You know, what is the DNR's approach to a crisis like what is unfolding in Stella?
Well, I think the DNR is always tasked with response, right? And, you know, in that kind of situation, you're looking for a responsible party. And that one's a difficult one because there's no easily identifiable source right now, right? I mean, like, this is a place in the middle of, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but it's rural Wisconsin. And there's not any, you know, industry nearby that would seem to be a major culprit. You know, they're looking at a variety of potential sources in the region to see if that might be contributing to those higher PFAS levels there. And so they're working through that with the EPA and trying to identify potential sources. And when there is no responsible party, you know, that makes it difficult. And these are already difficult investigations that can take years, years and years and years to go through. So I think that they're trying to respond as best they can. And then, you know, when they have resources available, they're providing bottled water as well.
Talking about drinking water quality with Danielle Kading, WPR reporter, as we discuss the latest on PFAS pollution contamination, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Danny, the state government's deadline for drafting the new two-year budget is in the coming months. Are lawmakers considering proposals for additional water quality funding? And what is the road forward budgetarily for PFAS?
Yeah, well, so for PFAS, you know, Governor Tony Evers has proposed more than $100 million in the next two-year state budget to address those chemicals, and that would allow for more testing and monitoring and funding to provide temporary drinking water to affected households. It also would provide almost a dozen new positions at the DNR to tackle those chemicals. And there has been some sign of support from some Republican lawmakers like Senator Rob Coles of Green Bay and Senator Mary Felskowski from Irma. They both have indicated that they may be willing to spend some money on that. And just last week, Coles said he thought that $100 million was doable in a Senate committee meeting. But I think lawmakers want to understand just how the state funding that's being proposed might intersect with federal money that's coming into the state to address this issue.
Right, because, you know, for people on bottled water due to PFAS, what is the path forward? I mean, we've seen French Island in the La Crosse area on bottled water for several years now.
So, I mean, the path forward is to find them a permanent water solution, right? And they're continuing to investigate that themselves. Right now, they've been drilling a test well into their deep aquifer to see if that could be a potential source of permanent safe water for them. But it's uncertain right now what that might yield. And in the meantime, you know, people are still living on bottled water.
What are you watching for now as we move through this EPA proposed regulation, both on the federal level and on the state level?
Well, there's going to be a public hearing coming up on the EPA's proposed limits. And there will also be an opportunity for public comment and hearings, too, on the state's groundwater limits that they are crafting. Those two things are going to work through the process. And as far as the EPA, it looks like they want to finalize something by the end of this year or early next.
And so there is opportunity for people to give input and to be part of the process.
That's right. And there should be some information on the EPA's website related to, you know, how people can either comment in written form or to take part in that public hearing.
Danny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a reporter in the Superior Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio. And still ahead, it's more PFAS discussion with your questions. We hear from a representative for the State Department of Natural Resources. Get reaction to the EPA's proposed standards. Call in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn steps the DNR is taking to reduce toxic forever chemicals, PFAS, in drinking water as we see the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposes a first-ever national standard to regulate PFAS pollution. Call in. Questions and comments about PFAS, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kyle Burton directs field operations for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Drinking Water and Groundwater Program. Kyle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So the EPA reveals this plan to nationally limit PFAS in drinking water to 4 parts per trillion, much lower than the current state limit of 70 parts per trillion. How prepared are municipalities to meet near zero limits?
Well, I think in Wisconsin, our municipalities will be well prepared for meeting the new federal limits if they become final. In Wisconsin, we initially had our governor kicked off a voluntary sampling program where we had nearly 150 of our municipalities sample early for PFAS. And that's really the important thing when it comes to PFAS is getting information, understanding where we are with PFAS concentrations in our drinking water, getting that early information, and then being able to take steps to reduce levels of PFAS if those systems are impacted.
Can you
additionally?
I was just going to say, can you walk us through what would this federal rule require from Wisconsin to do if, as you mentioned, it becomes the rule, the law?
Sure. If indeed this, when EPA promulgates a national drinking water standard for PFAS, first thing that'll have to happen is Wisconsin will need to come into line with the federal regulation, meaning that we can be no less stringent than the the federal regulation. So when EPA expects to finalize this regulation by the end of this year or early next year, when that happens, Wisconsin will then have to go under go through rulemaking to come into line with EPA's changing our current standards to meet EPA standards. And then our drinking water systems in Wisconsin will then have to comply with that new federal standard.
What might be the projected cost for Wisconsin to come into compliance with the EPA as the regulations are proposed now?
Well, cost for drinking water systems, there's the potential for there to be high cost for impacted drinking water systems. Fortunately, though, the recent federal bipartisan infrastructure law has provided nationally over $9 billion worth of money going to states to address infrastructure needs, including a specific money earmarked for systems impacted with by PFAS. And in Wisconsin, that brings millions of dollars into our Safe Drinking Water Loan Program in low interest loans and grants for those municipal systems that may be impacted by PFAS.
Is Wisconsin's portion of that money enough to address this problem of pollution?
We hope. We don't know because we don't have all of the data yet. right? All of our municipal systems have not sampled for PFAS yet. They will.
Why haven't they?
They will be sampling. Good question. They will be sampling for PFAS by the end of this year. In August of 2022, Wisconsin instituted its own PFAS monitoring rule, our own MCL, which requires all public water systems or all municipal water systems and other small public water systems to sample for PFAS, which is ahead of the game, like I said earlier, from other states around the country. Not all states have these rules, so our state, our municipalities in Wisconsin will be sampling for PFAS, and they will have that information that they'll need going into the federal regulation coming into fruition at the end of 2023 or early in 2024.
What about the impact of people who are on bottled water? I mean, the more you test, the more you find. How many households are currently on bottled water? What is the status?
On bottled water, maybe you're referring, to some private homes, private well owners?
Well, communities that have tested, and, you know, we've got French Island and La Crosse for several years on bottled water. If all the municipalities are testing and then finding high levels of PFAS in some instances, is the solution to move to bottled water? What happens?
No, I don't think the solution, Kate, is to move to bottled water. I think that the solution for places like French Island, where there's a large concentration of private wells, I think a good solution might be the creation of a new public water system where those private wells then are replaced by water being served by a public water system that is managing its source, treating or creates a new source, a new well or group of wells that it does not have PFAS. And then is able to distribute the water to those customers. People on French Island currently all have private wells, and many of those private wells are impacted by PFAS, which is why they've been using bottled water these last few years.
When you say that municipalities are in the process of testing utilities for contaminants straight across the state, are all of these tests being done the same way? Is there a standardization?
Yeah. In Wisconsin, we require certain methods to be used, laboratory methods to be used, EPA-approved laboratory methods to be used for sampling for PFAS. So our compliance sampling that our municipalities are undergoing this year are all using a standardized method and sampling for a standardized number of PFAS compounds.
And do you feel like you will get full compliance by the end of the year?
Yeah, I believe so. Our communities have a good understanding of what the requirements are, and we're working with all of them to work through those requirements. And we, you know, do believe our municipalities sample for a number of drinking water compounds annually, every year, have for many, many years. I believe this new requirement is something that we'll get full compliance with.
Talking about drinking water quality, the future of PFAS pollution in drinking water, Kyle Burton is with the State Department of Natural Resources, leads the field operations for the DNR's drinking water and groundwater program. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Jim in River Falls is here. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So a little bit of a deviation from groundwater and drinking water. I had heard of some studies that looked at least Great Lakes fish and how they've concentrated PFAS to levels that where if you ate one fish, it was like equivalent of having drinking water contaminated and utilizing that for a year. I'm just wondering if my daughter likes fishing. You know, we fish up near headwaters of the Wolf River on Pine Lake, and I got friends in the River Falls areas that like to go fishing. And just wondering if the DNR is checking lake samples and going to have advisories on if there's areas where people shouldn't eat the fish. And then one other issue is what's happening with the use of fire fighting materials like at airports. And I know the Forest Service, when they're dumping stuff on to control wildfires, a lot of that stuff has PFAS in it, or at least did. What's happening with that?
Jim, thank you. Two separate questions there. Kyle, go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Jim, for the questions. Those are great questions. The Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin is doing surface water sampling and fish tissue sampling in areas where we think that there may be PFAS impacted surface waters. And in fact, there are several fish consumption advisories specific to PFAS that have been issued over the past few years. All of that information is available on our website. We actually have all of our PFAS sampling data available to the public through our PFAS interactive data viewer. If we just go to dnr.wisconsin.gov and search for PFAS interactive data viewer, you'll be able to see where all of the surface water sampling has been done, what those results are. You'll be able to link to our fish consumption advisories that are specific to PFAS. We're really engaged with getting that information out there so the public can have the information they need. So people like Jim, when they have concerns about where to fish and what consumption advisories might be out there related to PFAS, that information can all be gathered.
On the question of firefighting foam disposal and cleanup, what is the path forward there? Because that has been an issue with contamination in drinking water.
Absolutely. Just earlier last year, the Department of Natural Resources passed a firefighting collection rule, meaning that, hold on, I want to grab my data here. There we go. Putting money towards collection and disposal of firefighting foam from fire departments across the state. This was a budget item attributed to the governor's budget for this biennium, and we were able to gather $1 million for PFAS firefighting foam collection and disposal. To date, we have approximately 27,000 of gallons of foam collected through phase one, which launched last October, and we'll be gathering another several thousand more gallons in phase two, surveying fire departments around the state, and plan to resume the collection here early this month.
All right. Thank you for the update there. Let's bring in Stacy now near St. Croix River in Minnesota. Stacy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
one of the things, we live on the St. Croix River right on the border with Minnesota, Wisconsin. And since 3M plant has had the PFAS contamination into our private wells, a lot of us, even though the small town that I'm in has municipal water, a lot of us prefer the independence of keeping our own water wells so that we don't have to pay for water. And one of the things that we've got currently going, they tested my well. I have low levels of those chemicals in it. And they said they're going to put me on a program where there's a filter that they can put on. And what I'm wondering is if you have information of that for people in Wisconsin. Are you familiar with this? Or is it just something that 3M is doing in Minnesota on the Minnesota side? Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. Great question. We are aware of in-home drinking water treatments for people on private wells. In fact, Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS, has a fact sheet that's available on their website that talks about treatments, in-home treatments for PFAS. They can range from pitcher filters or filters that connect to the faucet to a larger in-home treatment system. There are third-party national accreditation parties that certify treatments for PFAS, NSF being one, the National Sanitation Foundation. So my advice for folks on private wells that are considering treating their well for PFAS is to go to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services website, find that fact sheet, PFAS treatment in homes, and use that fact sheet to get the information they need. And then the really important thing about in-home treatment is always using those treatments according to manufacturers' operation and maintenance recommendations.
Kyle Burton leads field operations for the DNR's drinking water and groundwater program. Call in with questions and comments about PFAS, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the latest developments on human-made forever chemicals in the environment and DNR efforts as the EPA moves to regulate PFAS pollution. Still time for you, your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Kyle Burton directs field operations for the DNR's drinking water and groundwater program. Let's go to Tony in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. In one of my previous careers, I designed and built equipment that would inject live steam down into the water table to evaporate petroleum-based chemicals, and it worked fine. We did a large project in Green Bay and got everything back to the standards that the EPA set forth, but 3 months later, all the numbers came right back to where they were before we injected the steam, because the water table is dynamic and it just brought new contaminants from upstream. Is live steam injection viable in evaporating these volatile chemicals?
Tony, thank you. Kyle?
It's a great question, Tony. A little outside my purview, but what I can tell you is that PFAS compounds are, that carbon fluorine bond is very strong, and PFAS destruction treatment technologies is really an emerging science. There is a lot of research going on about how to actually destruct, break down those compounds. Kate, I think you called them forever chemicals earlier. And they're called that because that chemical bond is so strong, and they don't naturally attenuate in the environment like many other compounds do. When it comes to treating PFAS contamination in drinking water, available technologies do exist that are capable of reducing PFAS in drinking water. They include granulated activated carbon treatments, anion exchange resins, reverse osmosis treatments, and nanofiltration are all accepted and successful treatments in removing those from drinking water.
Do you see Wisconsin communities moving in that direction, you know, for instance, with the granular activated carbon systems?
Yeah, I do. I think we're already working with communities in Wisconsin that have been impacted by PFAS that want to reduce the levels of PFAS voluntarily going up in their water, going out to customers. And we are seeing a mix of granulated activated carbon systems being proposed, and anti-exchange resins being proposed. Even some reverse osmosis discussions are going on. So we are working with communities in Wisconsin that are already voluntarily moving forward with removing PFAS compounds in their drinking water.
And, you know, Wisconsinites, too, though, ratepayers are really concerned that their water bills will go up a whole lot more amid the larger PFAS crisis. Is that a reality that we will face?
Potentially. There are rate regulations in place. Of course, our Public Service Commission regulates the rate process in Wisconsin, but there are also federal and state funds available, grants and low interest loans that will help offset those costs to communities really trying to avoid passing on a lot of that cost to the customers.
The current state budget added $2 million to the state's well compensation grant program, and it aims to help private well owners test and address contaminants. And we talked with State Representative Todd Novak of Dodgeville about the program last fall. While he supported it, he said additional funding would be a personal priority for the current session.
$10 million sounds like a lot of money, but in reality, Well, it is a lot of money. And when you're talking replacing wells and issues like that, it isn't. So that's why I urge anybody that has an issue to apply for the funding right away, because I have a feeling it's probably going to run out and probably pretty quick.
What is your reaction there? Is the program meeting demand?
We that program, and thank you for bringing this up, that our new expanded well compensation grant program kicked off last October. We have been already taken nearly $2 million worth of grant applications in. We are thus far on track to spend that $10 million in the two years of the program. But additional funding would be needed, obviously, to meet the demand in years going past the 2 years of this program.
What are your top water quality goals for the next state budget?
Well, for the next state budget, Governor Evers has proposed over $100 million to support local communities working to address PFAS, including helping to get those shovel-ready projects access to our bill funding and to pay for projects and services that are not otherwise covered by federal funding, like sampling in rural communities, like getting money to those places, those local governments where sampling projects might be possible, where there's not community water systems there. I think getting more money to the communities that are impacted by PFAS and other emerging contaminants, is our governor's priority.
Do you feel like you have robust cooperation from local governments in addressing the PFAS crisis?
Our partnerships with local municipalities and local water systems are very strong. We have the same goals, and that is to provide safe drinking water to the citizens of Wisconsin. So all of our partnerships with our local municipal drinking water systems are very strong, cooperative. We're working towards the same goals.
We only have a few seconds left. Can Wisconsin learn from other states that are treating PFAS differently that we could use here?
I think Wisconsin has learned from its neighbors. And I think Wisconsin has taken the information we've learned and started moving out into the forefront of PFAS regulation and addressing PFAS in community water systems and private wells across the state.
Kyle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kyle Burton is Field Operations Director for the DNR's Drinking Water and Groundwater Program. We have a link to its PFAS interactive data viewer at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.